My name is Garland Robinson. Are you trusting a bag with holes in it? Surely no one would be so foolish as to trust their valuables in a bag that has holes in it where the money falls out. Or on the other hand, perhaps they would. At least it's happened before. You remember in the southern kingdom of Judah, there was a time when they were taken captive by Babylon, and then later overcome by Persia. Cyrus, a king in Persia, permitted the Jews to return home and begin to rebuild Jerusalem. But the opposition from Samaria discouraged the Jews, and they left a lot of the work unfinished. In their nice homes, they were no longer concerned with God's temple, and for 16 years it laid in waste while they slumbered. Then God's prophet was sent to rebuke them. We read in the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verses 4, 5, and 6, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye have not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put them into a bag with holes." Oh, what a tragic description of the people of that day. Like a pocket with a hole in it, that on which they depended could not offer the security they sought. How terrible it is to put one's valuables into something that cannot protect them and secure them. But the Jews trusted in bags with holes. So many religious people today are doing the same thing, trusting in a religious thing that will not last. When we seek after material things, it's a bag with holes in it. The Jews had provided for themselves. As they lived in their sealed houses in God's house, that is, the temple, was allowed to lay in waste. While they took care of the material things, the spiritual was neglected. Many are they today who have not learned the Lord's lesson in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, where we read, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Pursuing the treasures of this world, people have no time to lay up treasures in heaven, as we're told in Matthew 6 and verse 20. In the midst of material plenty today, we've got to never lose sight of the real purpose of life. When God placed man in Eden, in the Garden of Eden, it was to dress it and to keep it, Genesis 2:15 says. And ever since then, God has had purpose for man. Perhaps the best summation of man's purpose is found over in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, where we read, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." To miss that and live for earthly pleasure and purposes is to live so as to put our wages in a bag with holes. More important than making a living is making a life with the Lord. As Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, "We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And they that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and snare. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." The material things, they're not going to last. But the spiritual things, they'll last forever. Just suppose we're successful beyond our wildest dreams in gaining riches in this world. What then? Listen to Jesus. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. Friends, real estate and bank accounts and stocks and bonds and other possessions, they're not security. They're not lasting. They are but bags with holes. Oh, what a tragedy it is to work all of your life for things, and then find you put them in a bag with holes. Also, the doctrines and commandments of men, they are bags with holes. Does it make a difference what authority we accept, or do we have the right to question authority? The Jews did. They asked the question of Jesus in Matthew 21:23, "By what authority doest thou these things?" As it was the custom then to question a teacher concerning his authority, so it is today. And the reply of the Lord on that occasion should be in our hearts now when he said, "Is it from heaven or is it from men?" You know, when the hypocrites sought a case against the Lord, Jesus said, "Their heart is far from me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Matthew 15 and verse 8 and 9. When people today follow the teaching of men, they're trusting their souls to bags full of holes. The warning is found throughout the Word of God and nowhere more clear than in Colossians 2 and verse 8, where we read, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Friend, we've all got to understand and accept Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is the ruler. He is the master. We've got to turn to Him. He must be our authority in all matters that deal with life now and that which is to come. God has spoken to man in many ways through many different prophets through the years, as Hebrews 1 and verse 2 tells us. But then Christ affirms this also, "The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The Father hath given me a commandment, and what I should say, I speak therefore even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." So Jesus is our authority. If Christ says it, that makes it right. If he did not say it, then don't believe it. Don't follow it. The apostles knew and kept that principle, and they preached and wrote the words of Christ all of their lives. As he had promised in Luke 10:16, "He that heareth you, heareth me." The apostles spoke only what Christ authorized. He is the Lord. We've got to listen to him. He said, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth." Matthew 28:18. So religion based on the doctrines of men is just a bag with holes. Good people, denominationalism, the denominations around us today, they're bags with holes. Most religious people sincerely believe that denominational membership is all right. Thus, after they get saved, as they call it, they join the denomination that best pleases them. But Christ prayed that such would never be. Listen what he said. John 17, beginning in verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they all may be one in us." Isn't it strange that sincere religious people would work so hard today against what Jesus prayed for? When one says, "Join the denomination of your choice," they're saying, "Division is good. Division is appropriate. Forget what Jesus said about unity and just make one of your own choosing." Friend, Jesus built his church, Matthew 16:18. He died for his church, Ephesians 5:25. He purchased it with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. That church is composed of those whom he saves, Acts 2:47. They are placed in his body, Colossians 1:18, which is his bride, Ephesians 5:23. And there is only one, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. Why then would anyone want to be in any other church? Just as Jesus is the Savior of his church, Ephesians 5:23, so is every denomination on earth nothing else than a bag with holes. The Lord is saying today, as he did 1900 years ago, "Let therefore be no divisions among you," 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. And any church other than his is a bag with holes. Then we also need to understand that halfway Christianity is a bag with holes. When Jesus commanded in Matthew 6:33 to seek ye first the kingdom of God, he called for total commitment. Nothing less is enough. We cannot serve the Lord part-time and trust in our own ways. The Lord demands our all. To show the meaning of discipleship, he said in Matthew 16 and verse 24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That idea is carried further in the words that he gave in Luke 14, verse 33. "He that renounceth not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." Friend, we've got to be 100% on the Lord's side. The Apostle Paul encourages us in Romans 12 and verse 1 to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. But Paul did much more than just write it. He lived it himself. He wrote in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In Galatians 2:20, he said, "I have been crucified with Christ." What a wonderful testimony that is. And that is precisely the commitment which Christ demands of us all. Far too many expect to give the Lord an hour or two on Sunday, then the rest of the week is theirs. That reasoning is not right. That is a bag with holes. Why did Christ die for us? So we could just go our own happy way? Did he just want an hour or two a week? No, not at all. He wants all of us. He died that we should not live for ourselves, but unto him who died for us. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14 and 15. That is total commitment. He died for us so that we could live for him, not a halfway measure. Friend, God offers us the unsearchable riches of Christ, and we need to take hold of it. And any time we do not, we're storing up, hiding away things in a bag that's full of holes. We've got to put our trust in the Lord when he said, "Come unto me, I will prepare a place for you. Be thou faithful unto death." Then we can confidently say, "I know whom I have believed." The Lord in his word is sure. And we need to avoid those bags with holes. And we need to hold on to the Lord, because he said there is a crown laid up for us there. And we can achieve that. Won't you do that? Be faithful in the Lord. My name is Garland Robinson.